Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The Houston Texans on third and goal. Keenum towards the end zone. It's caught. Noah Brown. Touchdown.
Noah Brown had a big game for the Houston Texans. He and Case Keenum. It was a nice little combination on Sunday. And definitely not the combination that you would ideally like on a Sunday. No, you're hoping for C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell. That's not happening the rest of the year. You're hoping for C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. That wasn't happening on Sunday. Instead, you got those two. And thanks to more help from Devin Singletary, Kyahmi Fairbairn's leg, and the best defensive performance of the year for the Houston Texans. They took down the Tennessee Titans yesterday, 19-16 in overtime. And the Titans, of course, were wearing the Houston Oilers throwback uniforms, something that they had said they would do for this week, going all the way back to the offseason. I want to say it was at the NFL draft where Warren Moon, I believe, confirmed that they might wear those uniforms against the Houston Texans in Nashville. So they wear them. And I know for a lot of people that grew up here that watching Oiler games in the Astrodome with your family might have been a really awesome memory growing up. And then all of a sudden, the 90s, early 90s with the Oilers happen, where they have some good teams, but some pretty epic collapses, whether it was the 34-3 blown lead against Frank Reich and the Buffalo Bills, or I believe the next season where they started off pretty damn well, right? Or did they start off 0-3 and then they reeled off a bunch of wins in a row, and then ultimately the season came to an end, I want to say, against Joe Montana and the Chiefs. Could be wrong on that front, but then from there on out, it was just a very, 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 very long ripping off of a Band-Aid, which ultimately saw the Oilers moving to Nashville. And obviously, there's still some people who live here who support the Titans. I don't understand that, but okay, to each their own. I'm wondering, for the folks left behind that gave the Adams the middle finger on the way out, was yesterday closure? Because you're going to be doing your own version of this in some way, shape, or form next year with a form of light blue. I'm not 100% sure about what. I'm sure there's some I's that needed to be dotted, T's that need to be crossed, and you, of course, have to worry about the Titans being very sensitive to the fact that the only piece of intellectual property that they own that has value is those Oilers throwbacks. So there's probably going to be some things that have to, you know, get done before the Texans get to the finish line and add a new uniform into the mix. But does this give you closure? Seeing the Titans, formerly the Oilers, blowing a 13-0 lead against a Texans team that was without its star MVP candidate, rookie quarterback, that was without its top two receivers, that was without its other top five pick, a defensive lineman, that was without all of those things and starting a third string quarterback that used to play for the University of Houston. Does all of that add up to you being finally like, you know what? I don't really care about this anymore. Because I doubt that the Titans will do this again. They look like chumps today. They have embarrassed themselves, mainly because of the way that they handled this on the buildup, because it wasn't directed towards their own fans. It was 100% trolling of you, of, I guess, me, because I feel like I've been a part of this too by default. I just hate Titans fans. I think they're inbred hill folk. Some of them are cannibals, probably, but we can't confirm that. I just watched Wrong Turn starring Eliza Dushku and Sloan from Entourage is in it. It's a shame when Sloan gets decapitated. Not cool, but what? It's Wrong Turn.
Spoiler.
It's in West Virginia, which is in Appalachia, which is next to Tennessee. So, I mean, I'm sure that there's some cannibals there, too.
Yeah, the Appalachian Mountains, they go down into lots Tennessee. So
yeah, exactly.
They get lumped in.
So is this closure? Because I can't determine that, but I mean I think that's a nifty little cherry on top, a cute little bow. I don't feel like a need to wear them anymore. It's funny. You see your ex. Your ex is still. I mean, those unis are awesome. So your ex is looking good. But then you watch them blow a lead, and I imagine to you it's sort of like the same thing where you see an ex and you remember all the things that maybe drove you crazy more than you look at her and say, oh, the great times we had. Instead, you're thinking like, oh, yeah, like she used to pee the bed when she got drunk.
Right? Thank you for adding the second part.
Right. I mean, she wouldn't let me hang out with my friends. I think that if I were in the shoes of somebody who had actually been through all of that, I think that Sunday would have been a nice way to get some closure because you won and you did it with a third string quarterback. And then you probably remembered, oh yeah, the Oilers did this to me all the time, letting me down when they shouldn't have, specifically 35-3, but the other ones as well. That doesn't even belong to you anymore. They don't want it to belong to you. Great. Take it off of my plate. Take it out of my memory banks. I'm cool with it. That's how I think I would feel. But again, I didn't go through it. So I'm trying to be authentic here. I'm curious as to how you guys feel.
I mean, I also did not go through it. So I don't know. I it really isn't for me to decide because, yeah, my entire position is just like, yeah, the jerseys are cool. Would love those. Earl Campbell's nice.
For me, all
the other stuff, I'm cool with you having the rest of it.
Personally, for me, right? The nickname is cooler than Texans. No offense.
Oh yeah, that
we support that. Big Oil and Gas here.
We do.
The uniforms are great. The history part sucks. I feel bad for the players. Billy White Shoes Johnson should be introduced in front of NRG Stadium. You see Earl Campbell on the sideline meeting Derrick Henry before the game, and you're like, man, Earl Campbell not getting that Houston welcome in front of a crowd of 70,000 people. Like, that sucks. He deserves that more than anybody. The guy's in an effing wheelchair, you know? Like, that part really sucks.
He has a college football award named after him for the best college football player from the state of Texas, and he gets honored in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because of intellectual property reasons.
Right, exactly.
It's Marvel in D.C.
And to the McNair's credit, the McNair's have tried to do things. They have tried. There is one person who has been petty and kicked their and dragged their heels. And to her credit, Amy Adams has at the very least honored those players, but it's not the same. It's one thing to get honored, but like it's like getting honored in front of a totally another country. He's like, hey, here's the Medal of Honor. We're going to give you the Medal of Honor in Senegal. Like, just think of a random like country that has nothing to do with yours. That's kind of what those guys are getting as far as a welcome. And it sucks. I they're the ones that got screwed over the most in this. And a lot of them are too polite to say anything about it. Because I think that they like, well, hey, at least they're doing something for us. But no, it's not enough. It's not nearly enough. You deserve better. So there's never going to be closure there. Someone comments, D'Amico Senko, pretty sure players are more loyal to the owners. No doubt about it if they're signing the checks. But at the same time, you can't put a price on that, right? Like getting to go back and like getting a standing ovation from people who have actually watched you play. Like, no offense to those people in Nashville. There's no way that they can give them the proper amount of respect. HTX Rhino commented, no closure until the Oilers are back in Houston, and flips off the dead bud and the Adams family. Damn. I think that when it comes to the way that they honor the players, like that's the worst part for me. But I would feel some closure after yesterday.
From the 713, hey, Paul, you're forgetting to mention the Oilers' meltdown against Denver and John Elway, I believe, in 1992. Sounds right.
Good point.
You can make it up.
Tennessee Titans history that we overlooked.
That's true. We overlook a lot of Titans history. Listen, you could just make up something about the Oilers blowing a lead, and I'd probably believe it. You know? Like, the only teams in Oilers history that were, like, ballsy were the ones that lost to the Steel Curtain Steelers teams. You know, we're talking, like, 79 and 80. The authentic Love You Blue days. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Up next, a hypothetical that involves arguably the most important Houston Texan that's still healthy. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Not going to lie, when that pick six happened and Houston found themselves down 13-0, I did reach for the bottle of Pendleton to put a little splash of life in my coffee because it's a great thing to mix with coffee. I got my Texas pecan coffee and a little Pendleton in there. Oh, man. It's smooth. It's refreshing. It's not too sweet. It's made with the finest northern grains cut with Mount Hood glacier water. And it's something that came from the Pendleton Roundup, which has defined what it means to be a cowboy. Just like Pendleton Whiskey honors the enduring legacy of the American West. There's a little cowboy in all of us, guys. This is a whiskey that celebrates that. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, what happened?
I got a real red wagon. I can't do my work.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, man, I could have sworn those were ours, but at the end of the day, they can wear them. They took an L in it at the end of the day, so we can just continue to see who's going to wear those eventually. If they're going to pull those out again, I don't know if it's bad luck or whatever, but they're going to have to see us in 2 weeks, so we'll see if they got the white jerseys, the version of those, if they're going to pull those out. So, but we'll see, man. Like, I'm excited. It was a good look for them, but ultimately, like, they still got to come see us, still got to play ball. I don't care what uniform you're wearing.
Jonathan Grenard ain't about those uniforms. By the way, 12 and a half sacks this season. Yeah. There's three games left. He has 12 and a half. He had 2.5 yesterday. The Texans had 7 sacks. They held Derrick Henry to 16 carries for 9 yards. They held DeAndre Hopkins to 2 catches for 21 yards. Shout out to lots of defensive players on the Texans yesterday. Christian Harris, Derek Stingley, Steven Nelson, who had an interception, Malik Collins. It was a really good day for the defense that was without Blake Cashman, that was without, on top of Blake Cashman, Will Anderson, too. So, really good performance by the defense. That's the main reason they won, but also Devin Singletary, Kyahmi Fairbairn, they helped out as well. There is a video that went viral of a Titans fan before the game. I guess he's like at Yeah MFKA. On Twitter. His name's Morocco. He was wearing a Oilers beanie into the game. He's got these ridiculous like glasses that you would wear if you're a baseball outfielder and a very noticeable gap in his teeth and he spits a lot where he yells. And one of this like rant about how Oilers fans are check that. Texans fans are salty about the Titans having the Oilers stuff. Well, yeah, it's because of people like you. Like, you randomly going to bat for this, which you have no attachment to other than they look cool. Like, that's why we don't like you people. And it's why we think you're inbred hill folk. Like, the teeth. Come on, bro. You know, I get it. Like, the orthodontia are expensive, but come on. Can we do something about the gap? Okay? It's not charming like Michael Strahan's or Jules.
Dreams lie so low, even after you're gone. I knew we were wearing all those uniforms, and Mike Vrabel was wearing a cowboy hat. It was meant for me.
Mike Vrabel's hat. That's why I'm wearing a cowboy hat in studio today. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Bro, wear it the whole game. That's what I don't get. He wore it before the game. He didn't wear it during the game. Fraud. More fraudulent than the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Vrabel going to that game, having the cowboy hat, but not having the balls to wear it during the game. Either you wear it or you don't. Some people, they have the courage to take fashion leaps. I'm raising my hand. A lot of people know me as a fashionista. You know, I'm definitely the best dressed person in Houston sports talk radio. Now, that's not saying much. It really isn't much at all.
I would love the playoff committee's top 25 radio personality, right. Best dressed radio personality.
Granato dresses well. I'll give him that. The rest of the station dresses like slobs. And it embarrasses me often, but it's fine. We're in studio, even though we're on camera. I don't know. Doll up a little bit. I have my days where I don't look great. I do. I'll admit it. But, I mean, I'm a fashionista, and I would have had the balls to wear the cowboy hat all game. And a lot of people would have probably said, Paul, you look like you're from Brokeback Mountain. And I would have understood it because I'm handsome and charming. So I get it. Like, a lot of people do think I lean that way. And I would just tell them, I am an adventurous man when it comes to fashion. You can isolate that as a drop if you want. I don't care. I can pull off a cowboy hat. Did you see my awesome, ugly Christmas sweater that I wore? I've got 5 of them. Wore that on Saturday. I have a cat Christmas onesie. Yeah, I have something that men like to call balls. I had the courage to wear a cowboy hat on the radio today. I had the courage to wear the cowboy hat after the game yesterday. Balls. Mike Vrabel, wear yours. And a lot of people are going to tell me right now, Paul, wasn't Mike Vrabel one of your heroes growing up? Because he won 3 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots and he caught multiple touchdown passes. That's true. But Mike Vrabel's only won 3 Super Bowls. I've won six. So a real winner knows that he can pull off fashion no matter what it is. Assless chaps? I don't know. Would I have done it during a game? I've thought about it. Mike Vrabel wouldn't. And Mike Vrabel wouldn't wear a cowboy hat in the game. And honestly, I think that was the most fraudulent thing that happened. And it was proof that they did not deserve to wear that Oiler stuff. Proof. Sean's laughing right now, but you don't get what it takes to take risks, you know?
I'm just laughing at, you have this thing that men like to call balls.
Yeah.
What do women like to call it?
Toys? I don't know.
Men like to call them balls, and I have them.
It's true.
And Mike Vrabel doesn't.
Some comments. Paul, could you survive bull riding? No. No, but they wouldn't want me to stay on long. They'd make that thing go up to 100 miles per hour as quickly as possible. They only want the hot ladies to stay on the bull, you know? So there you go. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Some more comments. The Oilers players, writes King Itchy 69, are the undead sailors on the Black Pearl, and they will only get their souls back when Skunk, Amy Adams Strunk, sends the colors back home. They're cursed in her hands. Arr! I, Earl Campbell, over my career, upon the sea, I suffered many a debilitating leg injury, and now I don't do the peg legs, but it's been hard. It's been hard because of the curse of Amy Adams Strunk. I don't know. Can we workshop with that, or was that problematic? I think that was problematic. I'm going to distance myself from that. That was
part.
A pirate.
The legs just, part. Was
that was a pirate bad. Who just entered the studio right now. That wasn't me. I'm wearing a cowboy hat.
That was, yeah, okay.
I'm wearing a cowboy hat, man. Some more comments. D'Amico Senka says, I hope that Tennessee changes back to the Oilers. Shouldn't they have to now? I bet Titans fans would even admit it. Like, now that they've been there a while, okay, this Titans thing, it was lame. We don't even know why we did it. Like, remember the Titans was out, maybe? I don't know. Or,
it also starts with the letter T.
I think that's it, too.
I think that's an embarrassingly high amount of, like, up on the reasons they're called the Tennessee Titans, that's probably very high up. Is that same as the Seahawks? At least the Seahawks, like, at least Seattle's like close to the ocean, so you can kind of.
Yeah, it's a hawk by the sea.
Yeah,
they should, like, be just the osprey, but it's the alliteration is what they're going for.
The reason they're specifically called the Seahawks is because sounds good together.
It does sound good together. Good hypothetical. Who would you rather have for a 60-yard field goal?
Okay.
Sean, you got to be unbiased here.
I would rather not have myself for a 60-yard field
goal. No, Sean, you have to answer
this. Oh, you're addressing me. I'm not one of the options. Okay.
No.
Although.
Stop.
25.
I don't even know if I could do 25.
I don't know either.
I would just line drive
it. I've literally
it.
Never done it.
I would definitely hit the center's ass. Phrasing. Kaimi Fairbairn or Justin Tucker from 60?
Ooh.
I got to say, right now, you got to pick Fairbairn, and I know that's going to sound biased, but this has not been Justin Tucker's best year.
Yeah.
And Fairbairn has missed one kick all year, and he hit those two. It wasn't like the weather was great for that day. It looked like there was some wind going on, and, I mean, there was a chance of that game ending in a tie. Like, that Devin Singletary catch and run was nice and all, but the Texans all game, there were lots of just annoying penalties, generally by the offensive line that took back the walk-off touchdown by Singletary. That I wish the game had ended there, but obviously it didn't. It took us a very long time to figure out that it wasn't a touchdown because the CBS broadcast team was so awful. But Fairbairn, because of that penalty, had to kick a very long field goal. And it was weird, too, because the Texans were like, damn, if we run another carry, are we going to lose a yard? Because on second down, they lost a yard after trying to get a little closer. And I think they thought to themselves, damn, I guess let's just kick the field goal then, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That is an interesting one, because I do feel like, is there something to, like, having young legs when you're a kicker? Like, do you lose distance as you get older?
Probably.
Like, you would think that, like, logically at least makes sense.
I think so.
And so maybe that's, because I just pulled up the numbers. And they only, Pro Football Reference, they only have 50-plus as, like, so they do by, like,
right, they
increments
don't do
of 10. So they stop at 50.
And a 60-yarder would count as a 50-plus field goal.
Yes. And so the last 2 years, Tucker is 10 for 15 on 50-plus, whereas Kaimi is... Hold on, I have to do the math. It's 9 for 10 on 50-plus the last 2 years.
And, I mean, there were multiple 50-yard attempts that he could have kicked that Lovie Smith didn't let him do and that D'Amico Ryans didn't let him do.
And I'm not, like, just cherry-picking the last 2 years. If you go back further, it's like, Kaimi's pretty...
Fairbairn's...
Pretty rock solid on
Fairbairn's
the,
a
on the
great
50
kicker.
Plus, on the 50-plus. There was a year where he was 78%, which he was not that good, but...
Fairbairn's a great kicker. I mean, it's huge that they have him back. Oh, I can't believe Taylor Swift dropped the F-bomb on national TV. Kids. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Coming up next, guys, we're going to keep this party rolling. Your Houston Texans beat the Tennessee Oilers. How about that? Devin Singletary, MVP of the NFL. D'Amico Ryans, Coach of the Year. C.J. Stroud. Needs to be benched for Case Keenum. All of those conversations are on the table because we take football very seriously. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night, man.
You're a master of karate and friendship for everyone. Damon.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Again, feels the pressure, buys some time, and he puts a perfect pass into the hands of Singletary, who's off and running.
That's it. Good God, this broadcast team. I could have sworn in the moment that they... rose to the occasion, but I mean, they sounded like me with my seasonal Texans depression last week. Give them some Love Ya Blue Chew or a deep steel blue pill. I don't know. What was up with them yesterday? They rose to the occasion for the Devin Singletary touchdown run that got called back. That would have been a walk-off. But the broadcast team yesterday, I would like to have somebody other than Spiro Ditas and Adam Archuleta. Ditas's issue is he I think, gets a lot of things from a name perspective wrong. And Adam Archuleta's problem is Archuleta will fixate on things that are shown upon replay to prove him as wrong. And he will continue talking and try to explain himself into being correct. And it's just word salad. I don't know. We could dive into it tomorrow. Is that something you want to do, Sean, or do we want to turn the page? Are we on to Cleveland?
I mean, I said earlier that I hope that full strength Houston Texans football has graduated past the Spiro Ditas Adam Archuleta,
yeah.
Game. I kind of don't want to listen to more Archuleta and Ditas on a Tuesday where I don't have to.
Yeah, I don't really want to go back on NFL Game
and
Pass
have to listen to it
and find the moments where Adam Archuleta, while being wrong but feeling the need to always be right, go back into it. But that broadcast team was disappointing, to say nothing of the camera person who was having a stroke, it seemed like, the whole game.
Or, like, I don't know, were they high? Like,
was it bring your child to work and have them work for you while daddy goes gets blitzed in Nashville day? I don't know.
It was just, like, slow on everything.
Nashville
crazy.
Is fun. Like, did our camera guy last night, I don't know if they send the camera guys around or if they have local people that do the camera every week. It seems like it would make more sense to have somebody
local teams.
That does a local team. That guy, I think he had himself a fun little Saturday.
He had a bachelorette party he had to go to, or she had to go to.
Could have been that.
On Saturday.
Listen, I played hurt yesterday. You know, I was hungover watching that game.
Wow.
Had a good old time.
And then, I mean, despite all that, you rose to the occasion.
I did.
After the game to throw on a cowboy hat.
I put on a cowboy hat. Because
and make a video.
I did. Yeah. I didn't shower. That sweater smelled awful.
Yeah.
My pants were sweaty. Yeah. It wasn't great. Wasn't great.
I mean, you could have showered.
I could have, but the funny thing is I woke up at 9:30 and I could have, and I was just like, eh.
I thought you would have woken up at like 11.
No. Same thing. I woke up at 9:30. I forget what I was even doing in the morning. I was like, oh yeah, I should cook myself breakfast. Wait until halftime to do that.
Oh, I mean, I do that all the time.
Yeah, had some scrapple and fried eggs, baby. Ooh,
oh wow,
fantastic.
Leftover spaghetti.
Mm. Anyway, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Real question: Is it Case Keenum time? Has Keenum mania returned? What, Sean? So, CJ Stroud's still in the concussion protocol. Maybe he only misses one game, but he suffered probably multiple concussions this year that he's played after dealing with them. There's a chance that maybe he's not back on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Also, Trevor Lawrence suffered a concussion last night, so he's in the concussion protocol for Jacksonville. Is there a chance that it's Case Keenum on Sunday? I mean, I know I kind of want to see more Case Keenum after he's saying stuff like this after the game. Here's the greatest quarterback in Houston sports history. Also the longest.
Man, it meant so much to me. You know, I've said this a lot of times, and I haven't really thought about what I was going to say up here, but wearing the name of Houston on the front of my jersey, which I've done for a long time, and to get to do it again and represent for our city, for our team, it means a lot. It really does. Second of all, this team, I love these guys. I love 7 back at home. Love that guy. I love 10. Davis is one of the best human beings I know. Great dude. And I said early on Saturday, that this was a game for both of those cats, you know, as well as the rest of the team, because we got a lot of love in that locker room, as you guys can see, and probably it radiates. So it's very special, and what a gritty way to get it done.
That's my quarterback. He even called them cats. like he knows me. Except for the time where he called me not by my last name, and he had three opportunities to do it. We haven't played that in a while.
Called the other quarterbacks by their number, not their name. That's always a good move.
Do you think there's a part of him that's like, man, if I was wearing number 7, I'd have played so much better on Sunday?
There's what? There's three guys. The three GOATs all should be wearing number 7, or all, like, you would think would wear number 7. C.J. Stroud, Case Keenum, Kyeme Fairbairn. They all have a claim. They all have a claim to the 7th throne. They should do it like college and just let Kyeme Fairbairn wear it.
Well, yeah.
Just like, just two guys can wear it, just they can't be on the field.
How about three guys can wear it? Well, yeah, because when is C.J. Stroud and Case Keenum going to be on the field together?
Yeah, true. They can all just wear it.
They can all wear it. It's not like Keenum's holding the ball for Kyeme Fairbairn either.
No. I will say, though, I think now we have to stop calling Case Keenum the 3rd-string quarterback. I think he's just the 2nd-string quarterback. The first string got the first stringer got hurt, and he played.
Right. It is funny because
Davis Mills is a relief quarterback.
He is a relief quarterback. You're right, because he comes in for like a couple of plays, and he does his job, and then he comes in for Hail Mary and doesn't do his job.
Okay, we're separating those two. Okay.
Wait, well, when he was the backup to C.J. Stroud, he didn't mess up. To defend Mills a little bit there, the offensive line protection was not ideal on that play, but I don't know what he was doing, like trying to run. Like, dude, you can't
just go
move.
Down.
Just hurdle it. Don't
Eli
hold
Manning.
The ball out for them.
You're not Lamar Jackson, dude. No. Like, just Eli Manning self-sack, go to halftime.
Mm-hmm. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, a former NFL player may have started a race war. We'll do that and more before we wrap things up with Garbage Time. Paul Gallant Show! Texans took down the Titans. / Oilers. 19-16 yesterday.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
You never know what you're going to get.
This is Case Keenum, and you're listening to the self-proclaimed greatest flag football player in Houston. Really? In Houston sports radio, Paul Gallant, something like that, on ESPN 97.5. Are we sure about that?
Case, it's Gallant, right? Right? Is that hard? You know what? It's fine, Case. You can say my name however you want to. After yesterday, oh, say it however, baby, because he did what was necessary to win the game. Sean, we haven't played this highlight yet. I don't know what the hell was going on this play where the Texans are driving down the field, hoping to tie things up, and Keita just went YOLO. This was about as Jameis Winston as Case Keenum ever will get. Just listen to this play. I mean, the one time where Spiro Dinas and Adam Archuleta actually do a decent call where the camera guy, of course, effed up again. Let's just go back in time to my favorite Case Keenum play yesterday.
Keenum, little misdirection, looking. Everyone's covered. Keenum throws back foot, and that one is snatched.
No way.
Unbelievable. Schultz,
don't do that. No way.
That was like you pushed a button on like an action figure, and those are like his catchphrases. Don't do that. No way.
To walk it back, a description for the seeing impaired, because that was all of us when the CBS camera guy was running that game yesterday. So Keenum drifts out of the pocket to his left, that he rolls back to his right, and he throws to his left while running to his right, and somehow, subway, a pass that should have been intercepted, and there were probably 7 to 8 of those on both teams. Like, this was a borderline unwatchable game, but there were 7 or 8 plays that could have been intercepted by defensive backs, and somehow the wide receiver came down with it anyway. But that play by Schultz, I have no idea how he pulled that away from that defender. Clearly, the defender did not have a great grasp on it, and I mean, I hate that stereotype is real, that defenders are usually, like, failed offensive players, but that moment, yeah, that was a failed offensive player, and yeah. Schultz did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, he just yanked it from him. Like, that's basically what he did. He just took the ball. The other guy kind of got there first, and Dalton Schultz just yoink. And yeah, there was a lot of like offensive players having to play defense, and like DeAndre Hopkins might be the greatest. When they say a wide receiver has to turn into a defensive back while the ball's in the air and knock it away from a cornerback or safety.
Yeah.
I think DeAndre Hopkins is officially the greatest of all time at that. He's the greatest defending wide receiver of all time.
But that
one,
a lot
of practice.
That one over the middle, though, where he just didn't see the ball coming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was open. Levis made a good throw there, and he just got actually ear-holed by a Levis pass because he never saw it. Maybe he was thinking, like, oh, man, I got bills to pay. I got family to feed. Because he didn't go for that catch. It was a hospital ball, that's for sure. But like,
I saw what happened to Michael Pittman on Saturday.
Oh boy, yeah, that was bad. I mean, I know I say defenders' lives matter a lot, and I still believe that. But those plays,
wide receivers' lives kind of matter too.
But they're very paid. They're very, very well paid. That's what I mean. That's the difference. The difference that bothers me is that there is a class system in the NFL, and that quarterbacks and now wide receivers are starting to sneak their way into it, where they're more protected than anybody else. It's a team game. And that's why I liked on Saturday the Nick Mullins for the Vikings versus Jake Browning Bowl for the Bengals. Like, that was a hell of a game. And guess what? It was a team game of two gritty, tough teams coached by good coaches, Zach Taylor and Kevin O'Connell, fighting to the finish, much like D'Amico Ryan's Texans did yesterday. How about that?
I feel like team game is code for the quarterbacks suck.
Yes.
I feel like it's never the Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs rarely win a team game until this
game.
Year, actually.
But it's a team game. Yeah, their defense is winning the games this year.
Thanks to Kadarius Toney. Now their offense sucks.
Kadarius Toney's good for like one drop turned interception a game. He had it again on Sunday against the Patriots. Sean, I don't see color. We all know this. Right? Now, I don't know what color Dalton Schultz is, and I don't know what color the guy covering Dalton Schultz was that he stole the ball away from on that play, but maybe you can help me out here, because again, I don't see color.
Well, you want me to tell you the race of the two individuals?
Yeah, it's not important, but I trust me, we're moving towards a larger, okay, more important conversation.
Well,
here.
Dalton Schultz, white. I haven't actually double-checked these, so if I'm wrong, feel free to let me know. 713-780-3776.
Well, he doesn't see color either. He's actually colorblind. It's fine.
Yes.
This is why you can do this, because you are literally colorblind. Yes.
Dalton Schultz, white. I would guess German.
Whoa. Might be Dutch.
Maybe Dutch. We'll have to see. I don't know.
Belgian?
Ancestry.
Luxembourgian?
And the player that he yoinked the ball from, I believe, was it Roger McCreary?
Again, we couldn't see because of the camera guy.
I believe it was an African-American defensive
fan. Oh, interesting. Well, it's time to read a tweet by Rashard Mendenhall.
Oh, love Rashard Mendenhall when he was on the Steelers. Illinois, he was good on Illinois, too.
University of Illinois Athletics Hall of Fame, that's what it says in his Twitter bio.
Ah, him and Juice Williams.
Here's what Rashard Mendenhall said. I'm sick of average white guys commentating on football.
Ouch.
Y'all not even good at football.
Ouch.
Excuse me?
Okay, keep going. There's more to that. There's more to the tweet.
I know.
You're really drinking this in.
Y'all not even good at football, huh? Can we please replace the Pro Bowl with an all-black versus all-white bowl?
Great idea.
He wants to reflect segregation?
Just for the Pro Bowl.
So these cats can stop trying to teach me who's good at football? I'm better than your goat? You're better than Tom Brady? Okay, so here's the thing. I like hot takes. I do. I like the occasional tweet that makes everyone a little bit uncomfortable. And I would admit that it probably wouldn't go well for We the Whites. I saw J.J. Watt retweet and say, there's no one that we have that's covering Tyreek Hill. And
You're right. I mean,
J.J. Watt, one of the white goats. he admits cornerback's a thin position for us.
The last time there was a white corner, I'm not sure you were alive, because it was Jason Sehorn. No, I'm serious. I don't know when Jason Sehorn last was a corner. I want to say it was the late 90s, but I don't know. I don't know if it was. I think 96 he was, maybe 97, 98. I'm not sure, but. You know, you're 90.
Long time.
You're a 96. Baby,
I do not remember. I'm 96. I do not remember Jason Sehorn playing cornerback. I don't remember the representation in the cornerback ranks in the NFL.
Mendenhall is right, and honestly, Adam Archuleta on the color commentating for yesterday's game makes me see Rashard Mendenhall's point of view a little bit here. It does. It does. Dude, Archuleta, who was hyped as this great safety prospect back in the day, Sean. This guy was supposed to be the truth. And he was rather underwhelming as a player. You could look it up for yourself. I just know there was a lot of hype with Adam Archuleta when he came into the NFL. And he did not deliver on that hype. I don't think he was a bust necessarily, but he was definitely not someone who met the expectations that were put on him. Honestly, the fact that I don't even remember his career maybe does speak to him being a bust.
I was going to say, we're at the point now where if you're calling a football game, I either remember watching you or you're like a great enough player to where like you're Terry Bradshaw or something, where it's like, okay, I know he's one of the greats. I have zero idea like anything about Adam Archuleta.
Okay.
Like, I have no clue.
That's all you need to say.
No clue whatsoever.
So to Mendenhall's point, I can understand the first part of his tweet. I'm sick of average white guys commentating on football. But I'm trying to guess why he's annoyed with this idea that people are trying to teach him who's good at football. No, they're watching the game and talking about it. They're just watching the game and talking about it. And I'll be honest, white or black, it does vary athlete to athlete as far as who pays attention and who doesn't. I tend to believe that the guys, the better a career they had, the more out of their ass they talk about the current state of the NFL in particular. I think the guys who were on a, I guess, Adam Archuleta level.
Ouch.
No offense to them. I feel like those are generally the ones who are going to watch it more because they want to prove that they know what they're talking about here. But I'm not that mad about the Mendenhall comment. It's more like, yo, we're not trying to force you in a classroom. We, the whites who commentate on football, me, an average white high school player.
Ah, come on.
Was an average white
above high average player. Above average.
I was above average,
and you're good. In
I
class
was good
a
for order. My level.
Yes,
I would guess I was average to above average if I played at a true level.
I don't think Rashard Mendenhall would be impressed.
I don't either.
Also, I looked at what time he said it because I was wondering what game he was watching. He tweeted it this morning at like 8 a.m. So I think Get Up was on, and I think it was Dan Orlovsky. Either it was Dan Orlovsky or Jeff Saturday. And Jeff Saturday, hashtag good white. He was a good white center.
Texter asks a great question. For every white corner, there's a black long snapper. I don't think there have been many black long snappers in NFL history. It does seem like it's always the guy who looks like he belongs on the field a little more than a kicker. But
a little bit more. Some of these guys have bellies.
John Weeks has got a belly, but John Weeks is the longest tenured Texas.
Yeah, that's a power. That's a power belly, though.
What team would get not Ed McCaffrey? What team would get Christian McCaffrey? That's true. I don't see color.
The whites. We need them. We need them.
How many positions is Christian McCaffrey going to play corner?
Maybe.
He might have to.
Does he have any brothers?
They're going to have to bring Ed back out of retirement.
Sight unseen, we'll take him. Oh, I know Iowa has a couple good white corners.
Oh,
we'll
take
him. We'll take him.
Yeah, bring him in.
Cooper DeJean, come on down.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. How about your Houston Texans taking down the Tennessee Titans? A lot of fun. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our texters, our twitchers, our callers.
Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already and take a look on YouTube a little bit later for show clips if you missed something. Connor and Beard are up next. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace.
Oh, my gosh. I think I lost 10 years of my life on that one. Wow, go Texas.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
Dog Show!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.